If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead, take them, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. And if you're able to, and as you turn, if you could stand in the honor of reading God's Word. I've entitled this, The Son of the Father. The Son of the Father. And some of this will seem like it's kind of disjointed in this portion of Scripture, but I'm going to go through it as it is and explain how a lot of this stuff is going on, but yet there is something here that is, it comes down to decision time with a nation, and of really whom are you going to serve, and it, you will see. We'll start in verse 1. And it begins by saying, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, the priests and the elders, what is that to us? See thou to that. He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them, the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them to a potter's field, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would illuminate these scriptures to our understanding and the depth of the wickedness and the evil of these men's hearts. And then it comes to decision time of whom they will choose, Barabbas or Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, in this place, this morning, it would be Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ every time. We ask that you bless in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Our Lord has been taken out from the Garden of Gethsemane. The garden is is called the oil press. That's what Gethsemane means, the oil press. And he had gone there and spent the night in prayer and preparing for this place. And they came and got him, and very rough with him. Now we're not talking just a few people that came to snatch him out. You had about 1,000 people come and take him out. And it's a lot more than we could ever imagine, more than I had imagined. But our Lord is now in the hands of incredibly wicked men. Last week I titled the message, The Most Cruel Thing in the World. What is the most cruel thing in the world? Well, the most cruel thing in the world is religion without the Holy Spirit. And when you have religion without the Holy Spirit, you're going to have incredible cruelty. And because you're going to do things in what you want to do, you're going to do things in the flesh, you're going to do things towards people and try to advance your own person, your own desires, and envy gets in. But you know, with the Lord Jesus Christ, He deals with, you know, He brought a message of peace. And I'm not talking about as much a peace with brother and sister than having peace with God. Because a person without the Lord Jesus Christ, without a Savior, is at war with God. And I know people will say, I'm not really at war with God. Well, if you have not repented of your sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ, you are at war with God. And you're going to have a very tough time trying to deal with religion if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit always, always, always takes you back to Scripture. And the Holy Spirit always takes you back to the life of Jesus Christ and His will and the will of the Father. And so Peter, in this prior portion of Scripture in chapter 26, had denied Jesus Christ 3 times. During the Lord's Supper, they were speaking, and the Lord Jesus Christ told them, He said, before that cock crow twice, you're going to deny me thrice. You're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, no, Peter says, there's no way I would ever do that. I will go to death for you. And you know, when that crowd came, he was the first one to draw his sword, and it was a short sword, and clipped off the ear of one of the servants of the priests. And I mean, that puppy just went off the side of his head and fell into the dirt. And the Lord Jesus Christ steps forward and says, no, you put that thing away, and healed Malchus. That was the man's name. And he says, you put your sword away. This is not what I'm supposed to do, because he promised that his people would be safe. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came in and really kind of saved Peter's hide. And so when they took him, it wasn't only Peter that says, I will stay with you. It was all the disciples. Says, we will never leave you. And the first thing they had, they ran. And for good reason. They had been taken, and they had been killed themselves. And so they ran. Peter and John the Beloved, they followed this crowd, and they took him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the mansion of Annas, who was a former high priest and the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, their houses were next to each other, and they brought him there. And so as they're there, Peter and John somehow got into this courtyard and was watching the proceedings, because Peter wanted to see the end of what was going on. He wanted to witness what was happening. And during this time, servants came up. They were around the fire. It was a cold night. It was a clear night. It was the moon was out, and it was bright. They could see what was going on, and people were coming up and saying, he says, you were with the Nazarene. Oh, no, I wasn't. And he denied it and even laid a curse upon these people. I mean, I'm not talking he cursed bad words. He put a curse on people. And I'll not repeat it, but you can get last week's message and hear the curse that Peter didn't give that curse, by the way. But it was just an example. But and the third one was a relative of Malchus. You're the man. And he denied it. And as he was in the courtyard, Jesus Christ turned and through the window looked into Peter. And Peter broke. It broke his heart. The very thing he was not going to do, he did. And it broke his heart. Now, did Jesus give a look saying, you're wrong, Peter? And no, I believe it was a look that of sympathy for Peter, because he knows what is coming, and he broke and he ran. And it says that he wept bitterly. In other words, we're talking a man with heavy, heavy sobs. It was something that pierced his heart that was so sharp. Peter wailed. His wailing was so violent and loud that, and he was so crushed at these denials. And the Lord Jesus Christ always gives us promises, and he always is going to try to bring us back. And even in the empty tomb, the Lord gave him that promise of that napkin. And later on in the book of John, Jesus Christ, when they were done fishing, he came in from the fishing boat, and the Lord was there, and he was cooking after his resurrection, and he spoke to Peter about it. And again, Peter, of course, he loved the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ asked him, he says, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, I do. And he says, feed my lambs. And he asks him the second time. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, then feed my sheep. But he asks a third time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter got a little perturbed. And he says, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. That's all he told him to do. Feed my sheep. So what does that mean, to feed a sheep? He says to preach the gospel to people. This is what he's doing. Open up the Word of God and give the sense of the Word to people. Feed them spiritually. And he denied him three times, and yet he told him three times, I love you. And who was it to preach Pentecost? Peter. He was the only one prepared. He was a broken man. You know, God needs broken men and women. You know, a broken vessel and poured out wine. This is what God needs. He doesn't need pride. He doesn't need arrogance. He needs a broken heart. He needs someone who is... And the Lord will do it. He will break us. But you know something? It's the only way that He can build us up. You know, when I went into boot camp, you know, you had a bunch of individuals, you know. I was in a company of individuals. And they bring in this company commander. This guy's name was Petty Officer Edward Edwards. Eddie Edwards. He come in and started breaking us down. And he made us nothing to build us back up, not as individuals, but all of us as one. And this is what basic training and boot camp is all about. You know, you're not here for you. He says, you're here for the guy next to you and a guy in front of you and a guy behind you. This is what it's about. And the Lord, He comes in and He deals with our heart and He says, it's not about you. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ. Get over yourself so that Jesus Christ can be seen, that He can work through us. Well, the first thing I want to look at is that you want to see these men, and they desired His death. They wanted Jesus died. The priests, the elders, the Sanhedrin council, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of them. They wanted Him dead, dead, dead. And so in verse 1, we look at this and he says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death. Now, this council, we can call that a lay council. And as a matter of fact, this is one thing about Matthew. The book of Matthew was written in a way that it was written specifically to the Jewish people. And because it was written to the Jewish people, he left a lot of details out, but wanted to show the Jewish people that He is the King of the Jews. Now, let me kind of give you an understanding about what's going on. Jesus Christ, in reality, is the King of the Jews. The Jewish people at the temple were very punctilious about records and where people came from, okay? And so you could go all the way back and you can see through the lineage where Jesus Christ came from. He was of the line of David, all right? He's of the line of David. And in fact, He was to be the King of the Jews through lineage. Not only the Son of God, He was the King of the Jews in reality. Now, did the priests and the scribes and the elders, did they know this? Oh, they knew it. They knew exactly who Jesus Christ is. Do not mistake. They knew that He was the King of the Jews. And they also knew He was the Son of God, or is the Son of God. They knew He was Messiah. They knew it. And when you go through the prior chapters, they knew exactly who He was. Now, you and I would say that, why didn't they turn? Well, I ask you, why don't more people receive the Lord Jesus Christ then? Why did it take us so long to repent of our sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ? And I pray that everybody here does know Him as their Savior. Not just believe about Him, but have received Him and trust Him of taking you to heaven when you pass. And there's going to be that time, by the way. You know, I'm always reminded every time that we have services for people. I don't know about you, but with me, I got to take a kind of look back at my life, you know, because there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time. It's coming. I knew that as a younger man, of course, you know, in the military, that is always kind of in the back of your mind. It's just kind of there. And but the fact of the matter is, it's a very real thing that we have to deal with. And Jesus Christ dealt with that. So we don't have to face that in fear. Right? So we have something to look forward to. And so when it comes to the time of our expiration on this earth, we can go through it with something to look forward to. Not some unknown darkness or blackness before us, but we have a great hope in Jesus Christ because He took care of it, right? He rose from the dead for pity's sake. He rose for the dead. He's alive. You can't put Him to death because He conquered it. But I want to turn over to Luke chapter 23, if you could. Luke 23. And we'll just look at some of the things that have gone on at because what had happened is they come to Caiaphas. Caiaphas sent them to Pilate. Pilate sent them to Herod. Herod turned around and sent them back to Pilate. I mean, he was one of these things, these hot potatoes, you know, that people, politicians, don't want to make a decision over, right? You know, I love that term, hot potato. Some of you can relate. In verse 1, it says, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And after the Lord saying that he will be sitting on the right hand of God at Caiaphas's, he again went here. And then look in verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. For he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. You know, it's amazing. People say, well, did they really know who he was? Listen, Jesus Christ was a very well-known individual throughout Israel, through the whole region. Why? Because he was healing everybody. In fact, history will tell you that in this area, there was very little disease because there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people brought their family and friends to Jesus Christ to be healed. And that's all. Or to be fed. And that's all. Or to be made to have sight again. But that's all. Or to be raised from the dead. That's all. Or to have the lepers healed. That's all. You know. And you think, whoa. And when you hear people that are actually healing people, you're going to take someone who's sick to them. Right? You're just going to, and you're going to do what it takes. I don't care if you had to tear the roof off. You're going to get them down there. Now look, see what happens here. This is politics at its best. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Sent him back. Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato. I just want to see you do something. And I'll just send you back. And look at this, and this is verse 12. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before they were at enmity between themselves. In other words, your enemy is my enemy, right? This kind of thing. And so isn't that nice that Jesus Christ brought these two yahoos together, right? And so we see that it was sent to Herod. Now he's back at Pilate, and this is where we're picking up the story again. Okay? And there were some things, and we'll look at some of the things said in a minute. But it goes on to say, and when they bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now he is already condemned because there was a lay court or a kangaroo court, and they get together and were scheming on how and what they wanted done. And in their minds, the best scenario is take him to Pilate and have Pilate agree with them and send Jesus Christ back with these rascals and say, I sentence him to death because it was against the law for them to put anybody to death. Only the Roman government could do that or give permission. Now, their way of putting people to death, the Sanhedrin Council, was to stone people to death. Well, that is not how Scripture said he was going to die. He was not to have broken bones or things like this, and that's what rocks do. They break things. And so they wanted to just execute him themselves, but prophecy is pretty specific. As a matter of fact, turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is the crucifixion psalm. The crucifixion psalm. And we'll just read a portion of it, and you'll see. It's pretty interesting. Even the very first verse tells you. This is a psalm of David. And it begins, verse 1 and 2. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Let's look in verse 7 and 8. And all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Now you see, when you start off with this, these were words of Jesus Christ. These were the ones who, the ones even on the cross says, you know, you trusted in him to get you down, get us both down. You know, the priests are saying, yeah, you trusted him. Come on down from the cross so you can see what's going on. Look in verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. And it goes on. You can see how, you can see the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because when they put that cross in that hole, it pulls your shoulders out of joint. He hasn't had water, and is, you know how your tongue just sticks to your mouth when you get so thirsty. And his heart began on the outside, the pericardium, it starts to, am I right in that, the nurses? It starts to fill up with water. I don't want to say anything wrong in this thing, but it starts filling up with water. And it starts crushing your heart. You almost say that, you can say that Jesus Christ died from a broken heart. And that's why when the Roman soldier, these guys were experts at what they did. They were expert at killing. And they pierced his side, and it pierced the heart and hit that water, and that's where all the water and the blood just came out. So it couldn't be stoning. It had to be the Roman way of death. Okay? So they delivered him up, and he had to die the Roman way. He had to die by the way he died. Okay? So they desired his death, and I need to rush through this. Desired his death, but there's someone who desired relief. Look in verse 3 of chapter 27. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Well, what happened here? Well, here's what's going on. Judas believed that he was Messiah. And knowing Scripture, now, Judas was not a Galilean. He was down by Idumea, and he was from the southern area below Jerusalem. But he believed that he was Messiah. And the Jews believed that Messiah was going to come and throw out the Romans and set up the millennial kingdom. They believed in this. Isn't that great? They believed in this. But they didn't believe about his first coming. They missed it because they wanted to believe in his second coming. And so he saw an opportunity for money, reputation, position, power. This is how he was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And not for salvation. Now, you saw Peter, how he repented. And he wept and wept and wept. But here's what happens to Judas. He figured that, listen, how many times had Jesus Christ been in a situation where people were so angry at him and they wanted to grab him and take him out and kill him? But yet he'd walk right through. He's thinking, he'll just do it again. He hasn't done anything. I mean, these guys, I know they don't like him, but it's not going to be that bad. And he realized now that this was bad. He knows that he put up innocent blood in an innocent man. And at least he had some sense of decency. And he didn't like the consequences. And he was the one at fault. And so what did he do? He said he repented himself. In other words, he just felt guilty and he wanted that guilt gone. So what does he do? He's going to take this money. Now, here's what's amazing about all these guys. Let me read the rest of this and I'll just give you a little bit and I'll move on. And it says here in verse 6, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, the temple treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, and the Lord appointed, as the Lord appointed me. Now, here's what's happening. Now, we use the word hypocrite, right? We use, oh, they're hypocrites down there, right? They're hypocrites down there. I don't think you know what a hypocrite is, right? I don't think you really know what. These guys are hypocrites. Okay? Now, they hate Jesus Christ. Here comes Judas. He is heartbroken because Jesus didn't turn out the way he thought. And so he says, I'll give you Jesus Christ. He's going to make a little bit of money. He's the treasurer, right? So these priests, these elders, these scribes of the temple give him 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver is the price of a slave. Okay? Now, they take the money, he takes the money, and he's all happy, and he turns them in. It doesn't turn out the way he thought it was going to turn out. And he says, I want to give this money back. Just thinking, let him go. Oh, we can't do that. That's your fault, not ours. Well, take the money. Oh, we can't take that money. Are you kidding? That's blood money. They're the ones that gave him the money. That is hypocrisy. Huh? I mean, this is like in your face hypocrisy or contradiction. Do you contradict yourself during the day? Huh? Come on. Do you contradict yourself during the day? That's hypocrisy. So don't start calling people hypocrites, okay? They're full of hypocrites down there. Well, come on down. You're in good company. You know? Hey, we're not perfect. That's why we get saved. That's why we need Jesus Christ, you know? You try your best, but then you go like, you know, man, I'm really trying to watch my weight. I was here last night, and I'm thinking, cookies? There's some in the fridge. I'm here alone, no one knows, but I'm gonna confess it. You know, when you go in there and you find fewer. My wife yesterday gave me a flashlight. So I'm sneaking through here getting cookies, man. Oh, I am such a hypocrite, aren't I? You know? Calvin knows what I'm talking about. But anyway, these guys, they don't care about you. These religious guys without the Holy Spirit, they could care less about you. Be careful. Be careful with people like this. And he went out and hung himself. And it says in the book of Acts in chapter 1 that it also says that he fell and... I have to read it. It's not the nicest thing, but it gives you an idea of what happened to him. He hung himself, and what happened was he stayed there for a while. Evidently, he was hanging there for a while, because it says in chapter 1 of Acts, it says, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Now that's not a real pretty sight, but this was the end. I mean, he hung up there till he bloated and fell and burst. You know, I mean, it's pretty ugly, but you know something? That's the end of sinners. But let me tell you something. Before you betray someone else, you really betray yourself. When you betray someone, you betray yourself. And what I'm saying is, we need to be honest and right. So we saw that they desired Jesus' death. Judas desired his relief. But there was a desired son. And I'm wondering, who do you desire? Now look in verse 11 of chapter 27, and we'll get through this. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now in John 18, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. In John 18, verses 33 through 38, you see a conversation between them. But at the end of that, he was done talking, because there's nothing he can say that's going to change their mind. Nothing. There's nothing he's going to say. And so Pilate comes and he washes his hands. He goes, I'm washing my hands this whole thing. Brother and sister, you cannot wash your hands of Jesus Christ. Brother Hull said earlier, there's no in between. It's black or white, red or right or left, hot, cold, up, down. I mean, there is no in between. You either reject him or you receive him. There's no in between. You cannot be in the middle and say, I wash my hands. He made his choice. I reject Jesus Christ. And he says, I leave that to you. And it says the governor marveled at his silence. You know, with all this activity, there's one person in all of this that is calm, cool. He's collected. He's at peace. He's beat up, bruised, swollen. And in the midst of all this, Pilate is watching this. Now, who is Pilate? Pilate is said that he was at one time a slave who worked his way out and he married well. He married into the family of Caesar. And he's the sixth procurator of Judea area, which is not the best area to go to, by the way, as far as the Roman Empire. And Pilate would vacillate. He'd go back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, if people would just do right, you know, it's like politicians. When do politicians get themselves in trouble? When they lie. You know, I do not know that woman. I had nothing to do with that woman. You know, and next thing you know, he was impeached because of the woman. No, because he lied. They get in trouble. And we get in trouble because we lie. Right? We get in trouble. Well, it comes down to it. Look in verse 15. Here it comes. Now he wanted to let Jesus Christ go. He interviewed Jesus Christ because he said that he was trying to overthrow the Roman government. And he found out, no, my kingdom is not of this world. Okay. He's no threat. And so it says now, at the feast, in verse 15, at the feast, which is the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas? Or Jesus, which is called Christ, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He knew these men. You know why he knew these men? He's one of them. Envious, power hungry, they just want. You know, Elijah, he came to the people of Israel, and in 1 Kings 18:21, presented them a question. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Now, what did the people do or say? And the people answered him, not a word. Listen, you can't sit there and think you don't have a part of this. Each and every one of us that hear this have a part of it. Because now we know. And as Elijah came to those hundreds of the prophets of Baal and challenged them, he turned to the people. They were out for a show, but all of a sudden didn't realize that it was about them, not them. It was about God. Who are you going to choose? You can't walk away from here and not have a choice. And no word only means, well, okay, we'll take Baal. But it was a custom to release a person. So Pilate thought wrong. He said, well, I'll get Barabbas. He was a thief, a rebel, a brigand, a rabble-rouser, a murderer, just a notorious criminal. Or Jesus healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, exorcised demoniacs, fed multitudes, raised the dead, sang hosannas to him days before, thinking, surely they'll let him go, but they underestimated the maliciousness of these men. Now, here it comes. Those of you in midweek service know this already. Barabbas. Now, if you take notes, what does that name mean? The word, now this is in Hebrew, the word bar, it means son. What does Abba mean? Father. So Barabbas is the son of the father. Okay? The son of the father. Of who? Of your father, the devil. Or the son of the father of God in heaven. So he comes to the people and he says, you need to choose one of these sons. The son of the devil or the son of God. You don't have a middle. Isn't that amazing how God sets everything up? And there is no question in whom we choose. Either one or the other. And this is not an assumption. I don't know where anybody's at. I don't know where you're at. Do you know for sure if something happened to you, you would go to the Father? Or to the Father. Little f, big F. And just comes down to if. You cannot wash your hands. I'm not trying to make anybody guilty. I just don't want to be a pilot and underestimate people. You know what I mean? I don't want to... You can't ever overestimate God, ever. He's bigger than that. But we can underestimate people. I don't know your heart. I don't. I can know a little bit. Like yesterday, I got to know a man by the name of Reuben. And I'd never met him. But I got to know him pretty well. I can see it through his children. And you know something? This world sees the Father through his children. Are you a child of God? Whom do you choose? The son of the Father or Barabbas, the son of the Father?